You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Thinks they're entitled to sex. Well, the rapist thinks he's entitled to sex. And that's the straight line that I draw from the ideology of the sexual revolution to Harvey Weinstein.
When the pastor in whose house I lived called Hitler from the pulpit the Redeemer, the organist said to me, whispered into my ear, he's lying, he's betraying our Lord.
I can tell you that I am absolutely committed. In fact, I would rather die than give up the Book of Concord, because the Book of Concord confesses the truths of Holy Scripture.
Uber drivers around the world love listening to Issues Etc. on demand while we're waiting for a ride request.
Well, given the way that social media brings us real-time news, although the reporting on this incident was widely varied in the first hours or so, we finally get a picture emerging from Lower Manhattan where it appears a lone wolf, as they sometimes call these fellows, renting a truck from Home Depot, kills people by driving down a bike path, later apprehended. And we learned today in the New York Times that he was known to law enforcement, perhaps in an unrelated investigation, but nonetheless known to law enforcement. Why do we see this happening nowadays? Not so much planes being flown into buildings, but one guy with one vehicle simply running people down randomly, apparently in the name of Islam. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of November. We're going to be talking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch about Tuesday's terrorist attack in Manhattan. We'll spend a little time with Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness. A federal judge has blocked President Trump's ban on transgender troops in the military. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the three men in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Join us with your questions or comments over the course of the next hour, or call in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to discuss Tuesday's terrorist attack in Manhattan, Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Free Speech and Its Enemies, and Confessions of an Islamophobe. Robert, welcome back.
Always good to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Why do we see this happening? I think it's happened in Europe several times, where it appears to be just one guy on his own going out, renting a van or taking his vehicle down through the sidewalks or the streets of a highly trafficked pedestrian area, in this case in Manhattan, a bike path, and just taking random people out in the name of Islam. Why do we see that modus operandi?
Todd, this is an explicit and repeated call by the Islamic State, or ISIS. They first made it in September 2014, calling upon Muslims in the West who were members of ISIS or who were in touch with ISIS operatives in Iraq or Syria, but just ordinary Muslims who might believe that ISIS is the caliphate and that they owe it allegiance, calling upon them to strike by running over people with their cars in the West, in the United States in particular, as well as in Western Europe and in Britain. And there have been repeated calls for that from ISIS since then. Most recently in November 2016, ISIS actually said, you should rent a U-Haul truck, and that's the best way to strike the infidels with your cars, because it's very heavy, and it will maximize the carnage, but it's not too heavy, like a tractor-trailer truck would be, then it would jackknife. And so the guy in New York yesterday, he got a Home Depot truck, same thing as what the ISIS group was calling for when they said a U-Haul, same kind of truck. And so what we have is a concerted effort on the part of ISIS to weaponize cars and trucks, to have Muslims use them to kill infidels, in accord with ISIS's idea that it is at war with the United States and with the West in general. And so we will see these people who have no connection to ISIS, have no criminal record and so on, but they believe in ISIS, they believe that they're the caliphate, and so they heed their call, they take up the call for vehicular jihad, and they carry it out. And every time, because of the nature of the case, the media and law enforcement will say, this is a lone wolf, this guy does not have any connection to terrorism.
But the connection, I guess it's all in how you understand a connection to terrorism. I mean, does he need a letter from someone associated with ISIS or the Islamic State saying, hey, Saif al-Saipov, we want you to go do this at this particular time?
Well, see, this is the thing, that because our law enforcement and governing authorities completely ignore the motivating ideology behind jihad terror attacks, they're focused solely and wholly on whether these people had any actual formal connection. So they look through Saipov's emails and his texts and whatever, and they don't find him corresponding with ISIS members in Iraq and Syria, and they say he has no connection with ISIS, because they are bound, as a matter of policy, not to consider the ideological roots of the problem. And so the fact that he agrees with ISIS, that he thinks ISIS is great, that he thinks he has to heed what ISIS tells him to do, that's not on their radar screen at all, because as far as our law enforcement and governing authorities are concerned, Islam has nothing to do with terrorism. ISIS has nothing to do with Islam. And so the ideological connection is simply something they cannot recognize.
Now, it doesn't seem to be a way of thinking applied evenly across the board. I imagine, I don't think I have to imagine, that if there were a terrorist act carried out in the name of, say, white supremacy, I don't think there'd have to be a certified letter from some white supremacist group telling someone to do something, or a membership card in that. All they'd have to find is that the guy visited white supremacist websites or happened to share those beliefs of white supremacy. Am I taking it too far?
Oh, there's no doubt about that, yes. As a matter of fact, the FBI and the rest of our intelligence and law enforcement apparatus, they will tell you all about white supremacists. They know all about them. But since 2011, the Obama administration, at that time, scrubbed all mention of Islam and jihad from counterterror training. And so if you look at the Countering Violent Extremism program, which is still in place under President Trump, it is our official response to terrorism. And it'll tell you all about white supremacists and right-wing extremists and so on, but there is nary a word about Islam or jihad in connection with terrorism. The whole Countering Violent Extremism program is a large-scale exercise in ignoring and denying the real nature of the terror threat.
So I wonder, is this considered to be domestic terrorism since he's been in the country for a long time, had a green card that allowed permanent residency, and appeared to have lived in New Jersey and someplace in Florida as well, or is this going to be understood as foreign terrorism?
Well, you know, it ought to be understood that domestic or foreign, there is an actual jihad against the United States. There is an ideological movement of people in Western Europe, people in Asia, people in Africa, people in South America, who are waging war against the United States in the name of Islam. If we were to recognize that in some official way, then it would be possible to deal with these people properly. Every time there is another jihad attack, there's a criminal trial, as if all these guys are separate criminals, like a gang of bank robbers or something. And yet the overarching fact that these are people with the same ideology at war with the U.S. is ignored. These people are not criminals in the ordinary sense. They are enemy combatants. We didn't go into Germany in 1945 and place every German soldier in a criminal trial. It would have been ridiculous. We understood there's a category of people who are called enemy combatants, who are soldiers at war against the United States. That's what these people are, and that's how they ought to be classified, domestic or foreign.
So whether or not ISIS claims any connection or responsibility for this, sounds like that's entirely irrelevant.
Yes, it's very relevant that ISIS claims responsibility or not, but it's the kind of thing where, here again, our law enforcement officials are going to say, we have to see some actual connection. We have to see that the guy was in touch, or we're going to discount that idea.
So after enough of these, and we have to kind of talk about not only what happens here in the United States, but also what happens in Western Europe, law enforcement looks for patterns. Counterterrorist organizations in all these countries look for patterns. Is the fact that they refuse to include in their kind of pattern recognition the ideology of Islam, is that a fatal flaw in all of these investigations?
It's absolutely a fatal flaw in all these investigations. I mean, you have a guy like Saipov, the killer yesterday in New York. He was on the radar screen. He was not considered a serious threat. He was arrested a few years ago in the Midwest and let go. And the thing is that because they are not looking at the things these people are saying, they're not looking at the things these people believe. They are only looking at their actions. They are missing the ideological roots of the problem and what those roots can tell them about what may be the future behavior of somebody like Saipov.
One of the officials in the United States, and this is Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, said there's no evidence that suggests a wider plot or a wider scheme. It's to make that statement, he has to pretty much ignore what it is Saipov himself says, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. He's saying that Saipov is just one guy. Okay, well, that may be. We don't even know that for sure. But Saipov being one guy does not mean that there's no wider scheme. It's because Andrew Cuomo will not recognize that there is a jihad against the United States. He will not recognize that there is a concerted effort on the part of people with a unified ideology and belief system and outlook who are waging war against the United States. Because he doesn't recognize that's happening, of course he thinks that this is just a one-off. Every last one of them is a lone wolf one-off. And yet they all believe the same thing, and they all have the same goals. And so none of them are really one-offs or lone wolves at all.
Finally, then, if United States officials, law enforcement, and their counterparts elsewhere were to simply recognize that the ideology of Islam is not just a factor, but perhaps the factor motivating these kinds of attacks and crimes, what would change?
Well, for one thing, if we understand what they're all about, then we might be able to predict that somebody like Saipov is going to go jihad. If we can understand the Islamic teachings, and if we see that he is talking about the Islamic teachings, like, for example, you have Nidal Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter, and he's talking to Anwar al-Awlaki, who is the jihad mastermind who was behind so many jihad terror plots in the United States. And he's emailing him and asking him about what constitutes Islamic martyrdom. Now, if the people who are monitoring that correspondence, if it wasn't enough that he's talking to al-Awlaki at all, which it should have been, but it wasn't, then they ought to have perked up when he starts talking about martyrdom. Because martyrdom in the Islamic context is not dying for the faith, it's killing for the faith and dying in the process. And so that should have been a tip-off to the feds and to the military that Hassan was going to kill non-Muslims and hope to be killed himself in the process. But because we don't know anything, or we, as a matter of policy, don't know anything about the ideology behind these attacks, it was not picked up on.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Free Speech and Its Enemies, and Confessions of an Islamophobe. You'll find a link to these books and to Jihad Watch at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much for your time.
A pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we are going to be talking about a story that appeared on the front page of the New York Times yesterday. having to do with a judge blocking Trump's ban on transgendered troops in the military. The president said that by March 2018, those who are transgendered should be phased out of the military, and that should be a negative prerequisite for enlistment as well. That's been stopped. What does it mean? And what do we make of the judge's argument that this can only be based in nothing more than simple animus toward transgender people? We'll talk about all of that on the other side of the break with Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the for you of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th, in Houston.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.